We come to the end of another week here on God Is, and we've been doing something different this week. I hope you've been enjoying it. I'm in Hong Kong, and I'm in conversation with Dr. Brent Fulton, a good friend of mine, and also someone who has tremendous insights into what's happening in the nation of China, and particularly the church in China, and to be even more specific, the urban church in China. Brent, it's great to have you along today. Thank you so much for joining us.
Mark, good to be with you.
And I want to pick up on some of the things we were talking about last time. And one of the things that we discussed last time was the issue of persecution in China.
Yes.
And look, I realize this is a big and wide-ranging topic. You've already said some great things about it, but tell us more about that. Because I think for a lot of us who are listening from places outside of China, even from Hong Kong, and we have a lot of people who listen to this podcast from Hong Kong, the whole narrative on Christianity in China is about persecution.
And I think,
so what should we understand about that?
Well, I think we should understand that it's not the whole story. And so, as you mentioned, oftentimes it's the one narrative that we hear in the press, that another church has been closed down, another pastor has been detained. It's hard to get a Bible in China. And at various times, those things are happening. They're certainly true, and in recent years, they've actually been happening more. And so we don't want to discount the fact that persecution is part of life for believers in China. But I would just caution to say that it's not their whole life. In fact, most believers I talk to, they would not describe themselves as persecuted. They would acknowledge that there are difficulties, but there are a lot of issues that they're facing with, not just their relationship with the government. So I think it's important to keep that in context and also to realize that what you hear about happening in one part of China may not be happening in other parts of China, because China is a huge country. There's a lot of variation from place to place. And so it's a danger when we start extrapolating from one place in China and saying, well, that's happening all over the country, because that may not be the case.
In your book, which, let me remind you of the title, everyone, is China's Urban Christians, A Light That Cannot Be Hidden. I mean, you're writing about things like publishing of Christian books from within China. You talked earlier this week about what people are doing on the internet from within China. You mentioned in the book Christian schools.
Yes.
Really?
Yes. There's been a wave of Christian education efforts in China, as parents, particularly in the cities, have not wanted to put their kids through the state-run schools, and have been finding ways of starting homeschools or private schools, church-run schools, different ways to give their kids a Christian worldview, which they're not going to get in the state-sponsored schools. Technically, this has been illegal, but there's been a lot of it going on over the last few years. Now, I think it's instructive to look at these Christian schools, because they are a symptom of something much larger, which has been happening, and that is that Christians over the last decade or so, particularly in the cities, have really been pushing the envelope in ways that we might find surprising. If all we think about of the church in China is that they're persecuted, it is surprising to think that, oh, they're publishing Christian books in China. They're very active on the internet, putting up Christian websites. They're running Bible studies in businesses, and they are trying to start Christian schools. Over the last two decades, there's been an increasing gray area of activity that is technically maybe not legal, but Christians have been doing it, and the authorities have not been real interested in shutting that activity down. And so while religious policy has not fundamentally changed since the early 80s, the way in which it's been enforced or not enforced has really changed over those decades. And so we saw this big gray area of Christians doing all kinds of things that you wouldn't expect them to be doing. Well, what's happened in the last few years under President Xi Jinping is that gray area has begun to shrink. And so President Xi has sought to consolidate his power in China and to exert the party's influence more strongly into every area of society, including religion. And so, well, things like Christian publishing and even Christian schools might have been really on the upswing four or five years ago. Today, we see the government beginning to take action against those things.
Thank you, Brent. This is God Is. I'm Mark Swallow, and I'm with Brent Fulton in conversation all this week. We are doing something a little bit different here on God Is. So if you just tuned in and you're wondering, where's the Bible teaching? Well, we have been talking about who God is. We've talked earlier with Brent about the scriptures, and we'll get back to that soon on God Is. But what I've been wanting us to do is to get a global perspective on God. That is, what is God doing? How is God ministering outside of the places where which you're listening? And how is he doing it in the nation of China? China's an amazing country. How many people in China, Brent?
Oh, there's probably 1.4 billion people in China.
1.4 billion. And we were talking in an earlier episode about there being anywhere from between 30 million to 100 million or more of those people are Christians.
That's right.
Who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and who believe in the God of the Bible, which is stunning. So that's what we're doing as we bring this week to a close. Brent, this is another huge topic, but I think it relates. Talk a little bit about the history of Christianity in China, because I believe that has some impact on how the current government views Christians.
It certainly does. Despite the fact that the church in China is very much an indigenous church, missionaries were kicked out in the 1950s, and after that happened, the church exploded and has continued to grow at a phenomenal rate since. And God has raised up indigenous leaders to lead the church in China. So despite the fact that the church is very much Chinese, in the mind of government officials, it's still viewed as a Western religion. And that really comes back to how Christianity in its latest form entered China. Protestant Christianity came into China in the early 1800s. And that was a time when foreign powers were also knocking on the door of China, trying to do trade with China. And China, frankly, wasn't very interested. They didn't see the need to do that. And so the knocking became banging, and then eventually the foreign powers just knocked the doors down and came in and militarily forced China open. Well, as the merchants spilled into China, the soldiers and the diplomats, well, the missionaries came along too. And so, unfortunately, in the minds of many government officials and in the minds of many intellectuals, even today in China, Christianity is associated with Western imperialism and is seen as something that was foisted upon China by these hostile Western powers. As the government looks at Christianity today, and particularly in recent years, as the government has become more concerned about foreign governments and how they affect China, they see Christianity, again, as a Western religion, and they see that foreign groups may be using Christianity in China for their own means and to do subversive things within China. And unfortunately, this has Chinese officials looking askance at the church and saying, we can't trust these Christians, we must control them. We must keep them from doing things that they shouldn't be doing, and we must also be very wary of their Western contacts and their Western connections. And so this history has colored and continues to color the way in which the Chinese government views the church.
And things in China change rapidly, correct?
They do.
So, for example, your book was published in 2015. In the time we have remaining today, can you give us one way, two ways, a couple of ways maybe of some of the major changes for Christians, perhaps even for the urban church since 2015 even?
Yes, well, even as I was writing the book, it's interesting, I was here in Hong Kong writing the book at a time when Hong Kong itself was going through a very monumental change socially and politically. And I was aware that things were becoming different in China, even as I was writing about them. It was kind of a dilemma, how much to try to keep up with what was happening. I tried to produce the most accurate snapshot in 2014 as I could, but at the same time aware that under Xi Jinping, the party's grip on society was tightening. And as I mentioned before, this gray area that Christians had been enjoying was beginning to shrink. And certainly in the years since, we have seen Christian publishing getting a lot more difficult in China. We've seen the education authorities say to the Christians, no, education is the state's turf, and the Christians should not be doing things in education, and beginning to take action against the Christian school movement. A new regulation, a new set of regulations went into effect in February of this year regarding religion in China. And they set forth very specific fines for unregistered groups, unregistered religious groups in China. Now, much of the urban church that I write about in my book is Christians gathering together in large groupings that technically are illegal. But and the government for years has kind of just turned a blind eye towards their activity and has allowed them to continue to meet. But under these new regulations, they're not going to do that anymore. And those regulations also include fines for landlords that rent office space or flats to unregistered Christian groups that are meeting in China. And so the government strategy this year has begun to lean on landlords and say, you can no longer rent to this group that's conducting this unregistered church service in your building. And so that has certainly changed. And then finally, this year, just recently in the last month, we've seen new draft regulations on religious content on the internet in China. And so it seems like the government next year is probably going to move against this very dynamic Christian online community that's flourished within the last decade and try to limit pretty severely religious content on the internet. These are some of the significant changes that our brothers and sisters in China are facing now in a very dynamic and very fluid and quick-moving situation.
This year is 2018. The month is October. By the way, a flat is an apartment in Hong Kong and China speak, just to let our listeners know. We're going to have more with Dr. Brent Fulton on Monday, so enjoy your weekend and come back on Monday as we continue this fascinating conversation right here on God Is.